This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, very happy to be with you today. We do love spending this time with you as we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for His honor, for His glory, for the edification of His mystical body, the church, and for the upbuilding of the world in which we live. And we ask our Lord as we come together this day to be with us through the course of our time together, always offering everything through the immaculate hands of our Blessed Lady. And so I'm inviting you to give us a call here. I just love to hear from you. We've got a toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here as we discuss holy and helpful things, how to live the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and how to share it with others. Your conversation always, always very important to us and to our listeners as well. You're a listener. That qualifies you. Just pick up the phone and call 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Again, toll free for you right here in North America. Outside of North America, we've got a number for you. It is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, that is country code 1-205-271-2985. Looking forward to hearing from you if you're outside of the country. We do float you. We're outside of North America because Canada uses the same number as the toll-free number. All of that being said, if you call from a far-flung place that is not in this particular part of the world, we float you right to the top of the line so that you can get on and be with us there. Want to let you know, too, that we are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. All you have to do is use the chat feature there. Put your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement right there in that chat feature. Jeff Burson, who is also our producer, will dash out there, retrieve it, put it up. He's a social media manager, and so he has access to that kind of stuff. Yes, he does. Our call screener today, the one and the only Matt Gabensky. So we certainly do invite you to give him a great big howdy, eh? And if you tell him that you are a first-time caller, or if you tell Jeff that you're a first-time submitter, I ring my bell for you to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. So don't tarry, because, you know, the lines get filled up and then we can't get to you. Don't tarry. Don't delay. Call right away. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Those are my little jingles that I make up. I don't know. Do you ever repeat them? I don't know if you do or not. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Hey, I just had a little crazy thought in my head, so I'm just going to share it with you. So how about today? This is just a springboarder. You know, it's just to get us going. We'll take any call that you might have. We'll pray for you and with you for any need that you might have. But I was just thinking, you know, sometimes we do hear something on Catholic radio that makes a very deep impression on us, and it's something that really helps us in our spiritual walk or journey. It's something that helps us to take a step closer to the one who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I was just thinking, you know, what did you hear on Catholic radio? What have you heard on Catholic radio that really impacted you? It could be our show. That'd be delightful. But it can be any other show, too. It could be Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. It could be, Call to Communion with Dave Anders. It could be Open Line with my own husband, Jack Williams, there facilitating that program with a different guest priest every day, except for Friday when Colin Donovan is on. I always love to listen to Colin. I love to listen to all of them, though, because it's a great show. It could be any one of the beautiful programs that are up there. You know, it could be the Pop Checks, who precede us. So I don't care. But, you know, I was just thinking, you know, this is good, because if this little nugget of wisdom counsel, guidance, instruction helped you in your walk, guess what? It's probably going to help somebody else too. I'm quite certain it'll help me. So do call in. Let us know. Is there something that you heard on Catholic Radio that really impacted you, that set you in a new direction or opened up, new vistas in your spiritual life, or really helped you in the midst of a difficult trial or situation, or helped you to smooth things out in a relationship? Could be anything, really. Just call us and let us know. Maybe it's a truth of the faith that you came to a deeper understanding about or heard for the first time. I was having a conversation with a friend this morning when I was getting ready for the show, and my friend mentioned something to me, about Our Lady of Fatima, and a thought came into my mind as a result of it, and I said, I'm just thinking about this right now, just based on what you're saying, blah, 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 blah. I'll share with you the blah, 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 if you'd like to know what it is. But all of that being said, I was so happy for that holy conversation that we were having, because it really underscored something for me, a necessity for me, something that I think that our Blessed Mother's moving me toward with a greater with a greater intentionality and with greater faithfulness. So, this is the thing. God cannot be outdone in generosity. We give him a wee bit, and my goodness sakes, he takes it and he uses it and he magnifies it, and it draws us ever nearer to him. So why not? Let's do that. And, I expect that you should be calling really soon, all of you, fighting for a phone line, right? Fighting for a phone line so that you can be with us. So, what little nugget did you hear on Catholic Radio that really has made a very deep and lasting impression on you? We would like to know about it today. Yes, we would. I also want to remind you that, Women of Grace is a very active apostolate. I can't even begin to tell you. We're always about something. And we just had a beautiful 3 weeks. I've been gone every weekend for 3 weeks. One was a local event right here in Birmingham, but I was gone from the house. That was at St. Mark the Evangelist Catholic Church. It was a beautiful day with the ladies there, some of whom showed up at Ave Maria and then showed up again at our event in Clearwater, Florida. So I was at Ave Maria University weekend before this past one. And then this last weekend, we were at Our Lady of Divine Providence House of Prayer in Clearwater, Florida for 2 days with Mary, A Journey into Our Mother's Heart. And that was really something else. All of them very good and very wonderful, but we're always doing something, and we're having something coming up. We are June the 2nd. And what we're going to do, this is right before Pentecost Sunday. It's Thursday, June 2nd. Pentecost Sunday is that Sunday. And what we're going to be doing is having a Pentecost event. Tongues as of fire is the theme for that. Tongues as of fire. And it's going to be just a beautiful, beautiful time. We're going to be experiencing the power and the impact. And I want to say that the anointing of Deacon Larry Oney and his wife Andy, they have a special charism for proclaiming the Word of God. They're going to be talking with us all about Pentecost. They're going to be inspiring us. They're going to be, vivifying, our interiority. They're going to be, I think, igniting a beautiful fire within. So we want you to join us there. It's an online event. So that means it's very easy breezy. You don't have to get in the car and drive anywhere and spend all of that expensive money on gas. You don't have to get on a plane and fly. You can be right at home in the comfort of your own living room or your own den or study or wherever it is that you like to attend such events. You can be right there, and we're going to spend 2.5 hours together, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So adjust it for your time zone, right? And it's going to be just dynamic and wonderful. I'm going to be giving a talk as well. And we've got Susan Potvin, who is going to come, and she's going to be leading us in praise and worship. And I just got to tell you, I'm hoping you're going to come, because it's going to be wonderful. You can register right at our website, womenofgrace.com. When you click on the event, it'll take you to a landing page. You can register right there. We're excited about it. Coming right back after the break. So stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're delighted to be with you today. We certainly are. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm looking forward to talking with you right on the air here. We encourage you to use our toll-free number if you're in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please pick up the phone and give us a call. Please keep Matt Gabensky very busy. He's our call screener. We like when he's kept busy because that means we get a chance to talk with you. That number is toll-free. Once again, it's 833-288-EWTN. In addition to all of that, I am also welcoming you to use the chat feature at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Just put your question or comment in there. Jeff Burson, our social media manager, as well as the producer of our program, will dash right out there. He will retrieve it. He will put it up on the board, and I can address it. And that way, we can have holy conversation together. So I threw a little question out to you, which came into my mind, just as we were talking here. And that was, have you heard something on Catholic radio that was a nugget for you, a golden nugget? It could be instruction. It could be enlightenment. It could be illustration. It could be a teaching of the church that you came to understand better. It could be something that helped smooth something out in a relationship. It could be something that gave you some instruction on how to accomplish something or how to do something. I don't know. It could be anything. But what have you heard on Catholic radio that's made a deep impact on you? And I told you that I had a lovely conversation prior to going on the air today with a friend of mine. It was Thomas K. Sullivan, as a matter of fact, and he and I wrote a book together called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. It is a fantastic book. It really, really is a very, very good book, and I encourage you to get a copy of it at EWTN's religious catalog. It's EWTNRC.com. So, Tom was sharing with me about this book that he had been listening to. It's an Audible book. As a matter of fact, our Rosary book is on Audible as well. So, he was listening to this, and it was all about Our Lady of Fatima, and it was about the promises, and it was about, the big controversy. Well, has Russia been consecrated, and blah, blah, blah. So he went on to explain what the writer was saying about all of that, and that, yes, indeed, it has been consecrated. And he made the illustration that there was one consecration that one of the popes did. I think it could have been John Paul II, actually. And Our Lady told Lucia that no, it needed to be with the collegiality of all of the bishops. So that she didn't accept that, but she did accept the other one that he did later on, where he called everybody together. So, then Tom was going on, and he was talking about what Our Lady asked for, on our part. And so this is what, and he was going on, and he was saying, if in our apostolates and if our prayer life, we're really not heeding these requests of our Blessed Lady, then, we're kind of leaving things short. And what came into my mind as he was talking was, isn't this the fact, right? Heaven does its part, but we're called to do our part. And I started to think about the theology of that and the logic of that. And it occurred to me, it does make perfect sense, because God, through our baptism, has called us to be a co-redeemer with Christ Jesus. Now, understand, in this context, when we're talking about co, we're talking about that little prefix co. Co here doesn't mean equal to. What it means is, in assistance to, right? It means like a co-pilot in a plane. He's not flying it. Of course, neither of them, the computer's flying it. But he doesn't have the same duties and responsibilities as the pilot himself. But he's a co-pilot. He's there to help out, right? So heaven has opened its gates to us through the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And every spiritual blessing in the heavens comes down by way, of this opening of the heavenlies that was wrought for us by our Lord's own passion and death and resurrection. So those graces come into the world. Now, we who are believers, we who understand that, are called to make use of those graces. One, for our sanctification, for our healing, for our, acceptance of the God life into our hearts, yielding ever more territory so that more and more of us can be taken up with the residence of God, right? We need to be concerned about that. But we're also called to take those graces, and we're called to, in a certain sense, implement them in the world in which we live through our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our sufferings. It's part of the morning offering that I pray, right? So through those things, we are called to be co-redeemers with Christ Jesus. You know, they were saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We were talking about that passage yesterday, right? They were saved by the blood of the Lamb. All right, that's Jesus' part in our salvation. And by the word of their testimony, that's our part in accepting that gift of salvation that Jesus brings us, and then utilizing it as a source for us to cooperate with that grace, and then to begin to help others to come into relationship with Him. So I was saying, yeah, you know, heaven did its part. Heaven came to us in the context of this apparition. It was our Blessed Mother who came to the three children in Fatima, and she, you know, gave them, she made promises to them, but she also asked that they would communicate to the world the way in which we are called into this co-redeeming action that is meant to take place by believers in the world. And so she talked about the fact that she wanted the first Saturday of five successive months for the body of Christ, that's us, to go to confession, receive Holy Communion, say five decades of the rosary, and to keep company with her for a quarter of an hour meditating on the 15 mysteries of the rosary. She asked for that. She asked that we pray the rosary every day. She asked that we pray the rosary every day. She asked for that. So, you know, what we are called to do then is to take that which Our Lady has asked for, and we are called to fulfill it. That is our part in this call to save the world through by way of peace. That is our call. So, you know, that really impacted me as I began to think about it, you know, because I have to tell you, you know, I'm not overly faithful to the five first Saturdays. I'm not. But boy, I was convicted in that moment this morning. I said, no, Jeanette, you got to straighten up, girly. You know, you've got to get yourself, you know, I pray the rosary every day. But that wasn't the only part of what Our Lady requested. So, you know, that was really a call to me through, you know, what Tom was sharing and the thought that came into my mind. It made perfect sense to me. Yeah, that's my part as a member of the mystical body of Christ, right? I need to make use of the sacrament of confession as frequently as I can. I need to go to Holy Communion, as a means of offering reparation for the sins of the world against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. You know, so anyway, you get what I'm saying. I think that you get what I'm saying. And so I'm inviting you. Now, so that was through a little conversation today, maybe even what I've just shared with you about what the Lord gave to me as a result of that holy conversation. Maybe that will spark something in you, you know, and maybe, you know, you'll want to share about it. I don't know, but the phone lines are open for you. That I do know. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We invite you to pick up the phone and to give us a call here. Matt Gabensky, our call screener, is waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. All of the lines are currently available. And Jeff is waiting for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there, and he will get your question or your comment up on the air, board rather, for me, so that we can address it right here on the air. So, you know, let me hear from you. What are you thinking? How has radio impacted you? Or, you know, do you have a prayer request today? I'm happy to pray with you all of the time. Or is there another topic that you want to talk about? We're wide open for you. Yes, we are. This is your show. And we appreciate the fact that you want to spend this time with us. So, you know, I'm thinking about our Blessed Mother. I'm always thinking about our Blessed Mother. Why? Because our Blessed Mother is our mother too. And she wants to train us up in the way in which we should go by helping us to live in accordance with her Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And she always takes us there. And I was thinking about, oh, golly gee. I mean, I was thinking about ever so very much. And one of these beautiful, beautiful sections of the book, Divine Intimacy by Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene, is all really kind of dedicated to this month of May. So every one of the teachings in here that he gives us, or meditations that he gives us, is oriented to Our Lady. And they're just ever so glorious. And this is one of my favorite, because we're talking about our Blessed Mother. We're talking about the growth of grace in us. We're talking about the fact that, you know, Our Lady wants for us to grow in the divine life of her Son. And through her spiritual maternity, she helps us to get there. And as we know from St. Louis de Montfort, she even shares the attributes of her own soul with us. You know, this is what a mom does, right? A mom gives her children all of the best of herself. Well, our Blessed Lady is filled with goodness. She's full of grace, right? She's full of the life of God. So she wants to share those aspects of her life of union with God with us, that we might come into deeper union. And our Blessed Mother wants to teach us the secret of steady growth in charity. She wants to teach us how to grow in this love. And one of the ways is by always heeding the promptings of the Holy Spirit, always looking for God in the midst of the reversals and contradictions of life, always seeking the way in which he's making himself known to us, and the way in which he wants to teach us through the instances in our life. And so this is, you know, we think, oh, well, you know, but our Blessed Lady, you know, she was conceived without the stain of original sin. She never committed a sin in her life. She was pure and she was spotless, the purest of all creatures. Our Lord, of course, hypostatic union, true God, true man. He is both God and man. But our Blessed Lady, she is not God. She is not divine. She is creature. But she is such a privileged daughter of God, because she was going to be the one who would bring salvation to the world through her womb, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he preserved her from spot or sin. So we might say, well, you know, obviously, you know, our Blessed Mother, you know, she's full of grace. That's it. I mean, you know, she's born, she's conceived, you know, and she's full of grace. And life must have been pretty easy for her in so many ways. Of course, we know that is so untrue. But this is what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene writes with regard to Mary and Mary's growth in charity, Mary's growth in love. We might think, well, she had it all from the beginning. No, she did. She was pure and spotless without stain. But God asked big things of her, didn't he? God asked huge things of our Blessed Lady in light of the one whom she brought into the world. So this is what Father Gabriel writes. It's one of my favorite readings in Divine Intimacy. He says, we must not think that the Blessed Virgin Mary was excused from all personal activity and progress because she had been established from the very beginning in a higher degree of sanctity than that which even the greatest saint could ever hope to attain. Quite the contrary, says Father Gabriel. For her, as for us, life on earth was a way where progress in charity was always necessary. Did you hear that? Our Lady grew in charity. Progress in charity was always necessary for Our Lady as it was for us. So in that regard, we have a bit of, you know, stability. I don't want to say equal footing with Our Lady, but she, like we, needed to cooperate with every opportunity for grace that God was offering her. It goes on and says, the excellence of Our Lady's merit consisted in her heroic fidelity to the immense gifts she had received. She had to be faithful to those gifts. The privileges of her immaculate conception, of the state of sanctity in which she was born, and of her divine maternity were unquestionably pure gifts from God. Still, far from accepting them passively, as a coffer receives the precious things put into it, she received them freely as one capable of willingly adhering to the divine favors by means of a complete correspondence with grace. Father continues and says, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that although Mary could not merit the incarnation of the Word by the grace she received, she did merit that degree of sanctity which made her the worthy mother of God, and she merited this precisely because of her correspondence with grace. Hence, even in Mary, we can consider progress in sanctity, a progress which did not depend solely on the new abundance of graces which God gave her at certain special times in her life, at the moment of the incarnation, for example, but also on her personal activity, wholly informed by grace and charity, by means of which she brought to fruition the treasure entrusted to her by God. Mary, in the truest sense of the word, is the faithful virgin who knew how to increase 100-fold the talents she received from God. Yes, the greatest amount of grace ever given to a creature was freely bestowed on her by the divine liberality in view of the sublime mission for which she was destined. But she, let me take this post-it note out of here, but she corresponded to it with the greatest fidelity possible to a creature. Thus, there was plenitude of grace on God's part and complete fidelity on Mary's, so that, as St. Alphonsus says, without ever stopping, her beautiful soul soared toward God, continually growing in love of Him. So, that's true of Our Lady, but it's true of us too. So, it tells us in St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, that God bestows on us every spiritual blessing in the heavens. So though Mary's grace was a singular grace, a privileged grace that only she would ever receive, because she, by way of the mission God entrusted to her, had to be pure and spotless in order to be able to contain the Word made flesh within the confines of her body, she would be obliterated if there was any stain, any wrinkle, any crevice, any opening where there was sin. No, there couldn't be. She would never, ever be able to contain the wholeness of God, the Godhead, the Word made flesh in her womb, if there was any such thing. But that didn't dispense Our Lady from the need to cooperate with every grace that God was giving her. She needed to give fiat, total and complete surrender to God, time and time and time again. Now, every spiritual blessing in the heavens is immediately available to you and immediately available to me. And the question is, what is our measure of fidelity? Do we say yes to that grace? And I don't mean yes, like, okay, yes, I'll have a cup of coffee. I mean, no, a total and complete surrender to God in that moment. That's what He's asking of you. That's what He's asking of me. Because we have a big mission too, not Our Lady's mission. But like Our Lady, we are called, analogous to Our Lady, similar but not the same, we are called to birth Jesus Christ to the world through our complete and total gift of self to God, whereby He takes up more and more residence in us, and we birth Jesus at every moment through our fidelity and our heroic virtue. Oh, well, I want to hear from you. Please call me, 833-288-EWTN. We're coming right back. Light up those lines. Light up my life. We'll be right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. I am so happy you are with us. And now I see that we have lots of people that are with us today, both out there in social media land as well as calling in. We're inviting you to use that toll-free number to call in and get your question up on the board here, and we'll take that call and chit-chat with you about it. That number, toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also inviting you to get out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can put your question or comment there in either of those two places in the chat feature, and Jeff Burson will grab it. Matt Kabensky on the phones. Oh, it's so very exciting. I want to just go right out to these that are out there on YouTube, and then we're going to go over to those who have called in. But I was talking specifically about what did you hear on Catholic radio that really had an impact in your life. And Kimberly says, I discovered EWTN in 1999 when I was home recovering from a collapsed lung. I would watch daily Mass and Mother Angelica. It changed my life. I fell in love with the Mass, with our Lord Jesus present in the Eucharist. I love Catholic radio because there is so much shared in a noisy world with very little substance in all the media out there. And isn't it the truth? I hear this time and again, no matter where I go, about the impact that Catholic radio has on the lives of individuals, and how, you know, just they'll just hear the very thing that they needed to hear at a given moment in time. And that is true. Well, we can fill ourselves with the noise of the world and be worried and upset and raise our blood pressure. But when we allow ourselves to be filled up with the word of truth, our blood pressure goes down and we're able to face the misery of our world with greater facility and with greater grace. We've got Olivia out there. She says, mine is about waiting and patience for what God has for me. I think I heard it on take two. Yeah, and you know, waiting is not an easy matter. We don't like to wait. We want immediate results. But God often asks us to wait before he responds to us blessing that we need for a given situation, because he wants us to grow in trust. True resolve under severe testing. He wants us to grow in trust. And then Dave says, something heard on Catholic radio TV. I heard Johnette give a spur of the moment testimony on her Catholic faith and for the Holy Spirit that was amazing and inspiring. I've been tuning into her ever since. Well, Dave, thank you very much. And this is the power of a witness. This is why we all need to witness to our faith. They were saved by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So sharing that good news is part of the way in which we remain fresh in our relationship with the Lord, but it's also a means by which we are sharing grace with other people. Well, let's get out there. We've got David on the line in Olympia, Washington today. Good morning to you, David.
Good morning.
Hi.
And thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're so very welcome. So what's going on in your world, Dave? Ed? David?
Yes. I have a situation. My daughter had been plagued by voices in her head for a number of years now, and she tried to take her life a couple of times. And
David, I'm so sorry.
Yes, but about a month and a half ago, she self-immolated herself and is in the ICU. And is going through a number of surgeries because she's very badly burned. And as I sit bedside, as I visit her, she's a very semi conscious, they keep her sedated and stuff. But I see her writhing in her bed, and it's like she's fighting, and which is a good thing. But I tried to, I'm not a practicing Catholic, although I'm enrolling in RCIA here at St. Michael's because the father there really came through for me, and this whole event is not just this event, but other things in my life really got me to the point where I have to get off the fence, if you
yes.
know what I mean.
I do.
And I'm sorry, the question I really have for you that I've been kind of wanting to know is, what I've prayed for the intercession of Mother Mary to intercede on my daughter's part. I it almost looks like there's a battle going on inside of her, and it looks like it's not only spirit or not only physical, but I think it's spiritual too. And I was just wondering if there's a certain way or a certain type of prayer or a certain type of evocation to pray to for her, if there is some sort of spiritual component, which I think there is, to this, to who or how. I know it's a stupid question, but I mean, how should I?
Oh, goodness. Listen, David, it's not at all a stupid question. It's an important question. And so if I understand correctly, your daughter suffers from mental illness, but in this current situation where they have her heavily sedated for her own protection due to the suicide attempt that she most recently inflicted upon herself through immolation, through setting herself on fire. You know, there's several layers to this, but obviously the writhing could be caused from the physical pain that she's in. And, you know, that's very realistic. But I do think that it behooves a closer look at the fact that oftentimes when there is mental illness, that mental illness can be used by the evil one in very noxious and horrific ways. Now, whenever a person is actually thought to be possessed, within every diocese there is an exorcist, and the exorcist has been commissioned, if you will, by the bishop of the diocese to assume this office of exorcist. And it is the actual exorcism rite itself, R-I-T-E, the exorcism rite, the ritual, if you will, of the exorcism is a sacramental. So, you know, all of the sacramentals are tied into the sacraments in some way. So in this particular situation, as is the case with any thought that there can be possession, the person who is afflicted is carefully diagnosed by very many experts in different fields. I mean, you know, a medical doctor, for example, a psychologist or psychiatrist, for example. You know, these are the kinds of disciplines that are necessary to be able to ferret out if this is a spiritual situation here, or if it is caused by some kind of mental illness. But even that being said, and I don't think I'm speaking incorrectly, but if I am, anybody out there that works on an exorcism team or an exorcist, if you are listening, you can help me out here. But I think that the evil one often will hide, you know, he'll hide. These demons will hide behind the mental illness. We see this in people that are drug addicts. The spirit that's associated with that drug addiction will hide underneath that addiction. Now, that all has to be worked out and carefully monitored and determined by the exorcist. And they often have individuals who are experts in these fields that work alongside of them when these things are trying to be resolved. Now, and that's the extreme. Possession is the extreme. But can we be afflicted in some way by evil spirits and not have full possession? The answer to that is absolutely correct. There's obsession and there's oppression that the evil one will also use. Obsession is something that comes from the interior of ourselves, and oppression comes from the exterior. So there can be things that can basically affect us where we experience great trials and interior or exterior manifestations of demonic activity, but that's not full possession. Possession is the third, you know, in that listing of ways in which the evil one can really begin to affect us. So now your question, what do we do about this? Well, I think the thing that for you to do about it is to talk with someone. You know, you want to come into the church. It's very good. This priest seems like he is a priest that you have a good relationship with and feel comfortable with and can confide in. Maybe he knows about this situation already. If not, I would share it with him. And I would ask him if it would be possible to talk to whoever the exorcist is, just to get some advice and guidance. A lot of people, you know, priests also work in deliverance ministry that doesn't require the use of an exorcist. And that might be something he might know of, a priest who operates underneath that gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of deliverance of spirits. So I don't think this is a stupid question. I think it's a very important question. And I'm absolutely so sorry for you that you know, this pain of the heart is yours. And I'm also so sorry for your daughter. Prayers. You asked about prayers. So the St. Michael the Archangel prayer is the first one that comes to mind, and this is one that we pray, generally speaking, at the close of the rosary. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power, cast into hell Satan, cast into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. That's readily available to you online. You can also use sacramentals yourself. Blessed salt and holy water. When you go in to visit her, take blessed salt and holy water and, you know, pray the St. Michael the Archangel prayer and douse her room with the holy hour and sprinkle some blessed salt. If you can get exorcised salt where there's an exorcism prayer that's been prayed over it. It isn't the water and it's not the salt that has the power. It's the blessing that's attached to it. And you want to do that. If you have any blessed oil, you might want to sign the cross on her forehead. That is not a sacrament. There's many sacraments where blessed oil charism is used. I'm not calling for that. I'm just saying a blessing. I bless you, my daughter, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have that authority by way of your baptism. If you've been baptized, even if it wasn't in the Catholic Church, the church recognizes other baptisms as long as you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, that's what I would recommend, David, but I think that your question is a good question and one that we all need to be aware of today. So thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. God bless you now. Let's go to Georgia. Georgia is in Vancouver, British Columbia. Beautiful, beautiful city. Hello, Georgia. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Jeanette?
I'm dandy. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much for everything you do for our Lord Jesus and bless the Mother. I want to thank you for that
from the bottom of
my heart.
Thank you.
Okay. Just a little bit by myself. I was born in an Italian family. My mother was very spiritual. She's passed. And I went to private school 12 years. But after that, I didn't know if God existed for sure, and I kind of drifted away. Mm-hmm. And I started seeking the Lord and books and, you know, churches and, you know, Jewish. And anyway, so, and then one day, I'm married with two children. I was at rock bottom. And my marriage wasn't doing too good and stuff. And I asked Jesus to save me. I was all by myself. And I received the Holy Spirit in my room all by myself, coming from the ceiling. And he had his picture in front of me. And I said, he took over. There was a man's spirit in me. And he said, he moved and spoke through me. It wasn't my will. It was somebody else doing it. And he pointed at the picture. He goes, "Who's that?" And I said, "Well, it's you." And then he pointed to me and he says, "Who's this?" And I says, "It's me." I got so scared. I'm dying. He came to get me. And I said, I'm scared, Jesus. then he calmed me down, and then he looks up, and he goes, Father, this is Jesus. And then the outpouring of electricity of the Holy Spirit came pouring on me. After that, my life changed, and I maybe used to go to church. I bought lots of books. I started praying, and I became very holy. Church every day, prayers. I became a prayer warrior. My husband got sick, and he passed 8 years ago. I'm a hairstylist, and we sold our shop and everything, and so I went to work for this lady. And a year later, her daughter dies of OD on fentanyl. She was 16 years old. And I said, okay, so she couldn't work anymore. She had a breakdown. And she wanted me to take over, but she called me every day. She said she was Catholic, but anyway, we would talk every day. And I felt there was some entity, some spirit. I always thought it was the Holy Spirit, but turns out she was a witch. And the more I talked to her, the more I stopped going to church. The more I talked to her, the more I stopped praying. The more I talked to her, she was draining me. Anyway, I worked there 4 years. I found myself needing her, and I needed to talk to her. And I needed her instead of Jesus, you know?
Yes.
So,
Not at all unusual.
No. And, cause she had obviously some kind of demon in her, but anyway, so I left the job, 3 years ago, but I'm slowly coming back. Like Mary Magdalene said, they've taken my Lord. You know, like she took Jesus out of me. I felt like he was gone or something. But I had to build myself all over again. And I'm getting there, but I'm having troubles with the rosary. Mm-hmm. So, and once I was praying in bed, and I actually felt like a spirit take the rosary from my hand.
Let me just interject here. So, you know, I don't quite know what this woman did or said, but I do know that oftentimes if we have been in the presence of individuals who are openly anti-God and are involved with demons and channeling and psychic readings and all of these things, if we are in a weakened state interiorly in our own person, then we can succumb to those presences that are about that person. And, you know, she might have put a curse on you. I don't quite know, but this is what I do know. And I'm hoping that you've done this already. But if not, your first step is to get to the sacrament of confession. Now, you were not aware necessarily that she was involved in these things, nor were you involved in those things. So there isn't a sin in that sense, but it's very clear that something evil was at work there and is still in some way tormenting you. And so that's probably what the block is in your prayer. So go to the sacrament of confession and say, Father, look, I think I might have come underneath the influence of an evil spirit through a relationship that I had, you know, in my professional life. And I would like to bring this matter to the sacrament today so that I can be healed and released from this. And every priest, through their sacrament of holy orders, has the gift of simple exorcism, not formal exorcism like I was talking about a moment ago with David, but simple exorcism. And see, this is the deal with confession. This is what's happening. Any sin that we commit has a tie to something evil. There are degrees of that, of course, even if it's our own pride. But there's a spirit behind these things. So what we want for you to do, or what I want for you to do, is to get to the sacrament, take it to the sacrament, explain the situation to Father, and he might lead you into, you know, I repent, renounce, and reject any kind of association that could have even inadvertently caused this response. Now, the reason why the rosary is because the demons hate the rosary. The demons hate Our Lady. Just remember Genesis 3:15, right? God says, you know, I will put enmities, and he's addressing the evil one who showed up in the Garden of Eden and tempted Adam through Eve to commit the original sin. I will put enmities between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. The Latin Vulgate says, you will strike at her heel and she will crush your head. So the idea, they hate Our Lady. They hate her because they're pure. She's pure. She's immaculate. They hate her because they couldn't get to her. They hate her because she is the one who birthed salvation, births the Word made flesh into the world. They hate her, hate her, hate her, hate her. And Mary is all powerful with God. She's not God, but she's all powerful with God because she always prays according to his will. So they hate her. And when Mary's invoked in formal exorcisms, the spirits scream and screech and they hate her. So it's no wonder that the rosary becomes an issue for them. When the rosary is prayed in these exorcisms, oftentimes the spirit is drawn out. So that's the reason for that. So your first step is to go to the sacrament, and Father will advise you from there. And I'm just so sorry I couldn't get to everybody today. But you know what? We're going to be back with you again tomorrow, and we're going to invite you to call us tomorrow, and we will take your questions, and we'll just see if we can't leave these questions up on YouTube, and we'll get to them when we come back again tomorrow. It is Wednesday tomorrow. That means Sue Brinkman will be with us for our Wacky Wednesday edition of Women of Grace Live. Get out there and come to our Pentecost event. Talk with you soon. God bless you now. Bye-bye.